I'm grateful for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This isn't the message tonight, but let me just share some things because we're on the same page. We want to see God just move however he wants to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Get over to 2 more chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about the use and exercise of these gifts. One of the things is that speaking in tongues in an assembly like this, when it's a public thing, as Pastor Theresa did, then it's to be followed. We're waiting on the Lord for an interpretation. Either that person or maybe somebody else gives that. That was a powerful word of God tonight. Amen? See, now, during the course of worship or whatever, there may be 100 people speaking in tongues in their own prayer language and worshiping God. That's an okay thing, too. Romans 8:26 says we don't know how to pray for things as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. So, again, we're just talking about biblical principle. And I don't want you to stumble at something that God says, this is right, this is order, let's take all that God has. Can I hear one amen right there? Now, even if something hasn't been within your realm of experience, if it's in the realm of the Word, we want to embrace that. Can I? Amen. Because we don't want to be a Spirit-filled church in name only. We want to be Spirit-filled people in practice. Again, it's not just what you... it's not just one gift or another gift, but may God just flow through us however he wants to. Amen. And that's exciting to me. One of the words that went forth tonight was that of standing. And we'll get to that in the message tonight about positioning ourselves and taking a stand. I need to... Let me mention something because I want to get some information into your hands. Probably over the last couple of months, God had slapped me in the face with some information concerning the sex ed programs that are in our schools locally. La Vega, Conley, Waco Independent School District. How many of you have kids? And let me qualify this because it's probably 7th through 12th grade at this time. Has anybody in here got kids in any of those school districts, 7th through 12th grades? Can I just see your hand? Let us get some information to you, Johnny, or whoever's got some things to hand out. If you know a parent or you're a grandparent of a child in Waco School District, Conley, La Vega, or Golson, just slip your hand up. We're not drafting you into something. This is helpful stuff. I'll explain to you while they're distributing this. There's some curriculum, and I'm not sure how long it has been in those schools, but those, again, it just... Because of a particular meeting that we're in, we went there to do outreach with some of the other teams here at La Vega. And the head of Waco School District's sex education happened to be speaking for like 5 minutes there. It wasn't on the agenda. As far as we knew, the whole program was for something else. But in that thing, it's like God was saying, you bald guy, wake up, look around what's going on right here. And I had some way... not followed up on some things I should have followed up on, but there's a curriculum called Big Decisions. That is if you hear the term comprehensive sex education, that is sort of a across the boundaries, anything. It's not abstinence-based sex education. Now, I believe sex education ought to be the responsibility of parents. Can I hear one amen in here? I sent my kids to school to learn to read and write and do math and those things. I didn't want to send them for sexual indoctrination, and that's exactly what this particular sex ed curriculum does. And I've included stuff, a website, actually a couple of websites. You can look through that. And how many you know somebody that needs this? Now go ahead and put your hand up if you're not here, because maybe I narrowed the field too much. How many know a parent or somebody that would be interested in getting and being exposed to what their kids, getting informed about what their kids are being exposed to. As early as 7th grade through 12th grade, if you know a parent, go ahead and put your hand up that you're willing to give something to. I'll not go through all the nastiness of this, but in Texas, so far, parents have the right to opt out, to opt their children out. There is two pages on the very back of this. It's a form that the school should honor and will be mandated to honor, but they won't necessarily tell you and inform you that you can opt your kids out. But anyway, one of the things that stood out to me is for over 20 years, Planned Parenthood had a program that they pushed in Waco. It was called Nobody's Fool. Oftentimes we would stand there and inform parents, do you want your child to be taught this, 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 this? And ultimately they shut down. After over 20 years, the church believers rose up and we began informing people, and some things happened. And that was a good thing. But while we were busy doing that, or after that, the similar curriculum has crept into schools through this the pattern. There's many more things that could be said, and I'll just save those or set on a while. But if you have a child in any of those districts, I do not know what's being taught at West and Robinson and some of the other outlying areas. If you get that information, please let me know. If it's abstinence-based, then that can be a quality thing. But if it's comprehensive sex education, the philosophies that are being espoused there, the homosexuality, the right that that 14-year-old kid can make a decision as to how, when they want to have sex, all that stuff, that is not the school's responsibility to tell our kids that. And it really, it's a spiritual attack on our kids. It's not just something to get up in the air about, although I am so stirred up about it. I hate what the enemy's trying to do. It's war on our kids. It's war on our kids. And I want it, but if you're not informed with right information, then often you'll be muted. You'll be pushed back. Well, I don't know, really. And this will give you the information. So you're welcome. Even if you're not a parent with students in school, these handouts will be on at the welcome desk. You can pick up a packet, distribute it to other kids. We'll try to get some stuff in digital form as well for you to be able to repost or share with other parents. That we want to protect our kids. Can I hear one amen right there? God has not called the state to be responsible for my children, my grandchildren. He's called us to. And the church ought to be equipping the kids to be rising up above pressures that are there. We need to equip them, not merely say pray more and do more. We need to talk straight to them, help them understand biblical principles and what morality is. Oh, man, maybe I should go one place. I can't believe some of what I see. But when I realize that this particular curriculum that is in La Vega, Conley, Waco Independent School District, I just read one thing. I'll read one paragraph and I'm going to get off this, I think. It's important to maintain a safe, respectful, this is in the teaching program, respectful and inclusive learning environment for all students, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and students who are questioning or unsure of their orientation or gender. Here's another excerpt. Not all students who identify as males have a penis and testicles. Likewise, not all who identify as female have a vagina and a uterus. That's not part of my educational program that I want for any students here. Hello. You say, what? What? How many of you just got shocked at what I read? I'm just saying there's much more that you can look at. Anyway, it's not merely a fleshly battle. Don't just get mad. It's spiritual. But be equipped and informed. Because Paul did not speak to the Greeks from a basis of ignorance. He spoke from knowledge. But it's Holy Spirit-inspired knowledge. And the way that we approach things needs to be logical, legitimate. And these are both logical and legitimate spiritual concerns. Amen. Okay. Let me preach tonight. This is such a powerful atmosphere in here. I don't know how many already took something from the Lord. Amen. Look, tonight we were concerned because when the heat was off tonight. So if you think that, well, they just got the, why are they leaving it so cool in here? It's because it doesn't work. We got in here today and it didn't work. So you welcome, borrow somebody else's coat if it gets cool. I'm not going to talk very long up here in the message tonight. But after I got so fired up here, I don't need a jacket. I just, God is doing some good things in this house. And us are just about to, yes, hallelujah. we are in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians 16, and it's the concluding installment of this entire book. We've been on it a number of weeks, actually several months. But don't turn off at this point, because in this last chapter, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul is going to give some important, I'd say, parting instructions. You ever been in a conversation with your kids or grandkids? You're about to leave the house, or you're about to do something, and say, "Now, don't forget this and this." How many have ever done that? Lots, most. And so you understand that. Now, I'm not minimizing the rest of the book that we've already studied, but there's some closing remarks almost that he's going to make just in these last several verses that we're going to study tonight. There's about six things that I want to touch on tonight, and they're brief. Almost all of them are really brief points, so I'm not, again, keeping you forever. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you can look at that text first, and then we'll go back and break those down. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where we concluded last week, was in verse 12. So let's get there this week. Chapter 16, verse 13. I'll go ahead and put the first part up if you can maybe see how the... Let's look at verse 13. Read it with me out loud. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Stand. Stand firm. Let's look at these a little more specifically. So the first is basically in this context, in this setting, Paul is saying, number one, is maintain spiritual diligence. Maintain spiritual diligence. Point number one, if you can find that up there. Maintain spiritual diligence. And all of those things that we just read could really be classified as military terms. Not exclusively is that. But let's look at them individually. Letter A, as we break this down, the word watch means be continually on guard. Don't become lackadaisical in your walk with God. Somebody said, "Well, I got saved 25 years ago." Praise God for that. Don't let off now. Don't get sloppy in this thing. You know, I've done my time. Somebody said, my old pastor, I don't remember why, I don't know why I still remember that saying that he had growing up, but he said, living for God, walking with Jesus is sort of like riding a bicycle uphill. If you stop pedaling, you fall over. Y'all with me? So stand, when he said, be continually on guard, it literally means give strict attention to. That's in the present, active, imperative sense. When I think back about King David's affair with Bathsheba, she was one of the four women of Christmas that we talked about this Sunday, Bathsheba. But David's affair with her is a prime example of a man who let his personal guard down. Wasn't that David had not had history in God and loving God, and God put him in a position of leadership, responsibility, and authority, but David let his guard down. Let me give you two verses as a context of understanding. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it says, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, what? Remained at Jerusalem. At the time when kings should be leading the army, David's, yeah, I've done my time. Listen, some of you that's got an anointing of God, and you say, you know what? I already spent my time teaching little kids. I'm not going to be part of that. Reconsider. Are you sitting at home? Are you sitting on a chair where you need to be expressing something and investing somewhere else? Because for any of us, be continually on guard. David let his guard down. Verse 2, we'll just read that and shift on. But then it happened one evening, as David was remaining where he shouldn't have stayed, it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. And David acted on that pull, on that fleshly. In his lackadaisical or not guarded time, he found himself in a bad shape. And I don't want anybody here to fall prey to that. So be continually on guard. Proverbs 4:23, many of you could quote it, but say it with me out loud. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Verse 23 from the New Living Translation, I like this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Out of the heart are the directions and the empowerment that have your spirit. So the second part of 1 Corinthians 16:3 said, watch, stand fast in the faith. Letter B is stand fast in the faith. Literally, it means persist. The building is not burning, but somebody was working on the heat. I'm just letting you know. You may have to have them turn it down before it gets over. I don't know. But may God set us on fire, each of us. Stand fast in the faith. Persist, persevere. It means don't be disorderly. It means to keep your ranks. As I said, these terms are military terms. Keep your ranks unbroken. Keep close together. I say that's a good practice in 2020 coming up. Keep close together. Keep your ranks. Partner up with folks that are walking this same direction. Amen. That's one another. Brothers and sisters, not just in this church, but in our city and in this region where people are going forward. Stand fast in the faith. Letter C is be brave. Be brave. This is an interesting word because it's the only place in the Bible where the Greek word is used, and it literally means act like men. Are there any men in the house? Who? Okay, so now, women, this isn't a gender exclusive thing because you got to rise up and persist and be faithful and stand where you are as well. But that word, as Paul is challenging these men in this last few verses, these people of God, he said that word means act like men. It means to show oneself a man. The word doesn't seem to focus on feeling. How you feeling today? It's on acting and on being. It doesn't matter how Ronnie's feeling today. I'm choosing to serve God. It doesn't matter how things. Some of you, I watched Becky tonight. Where are you, Becky? I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I knew that after 5 o'clock, their vehicle was broken down on the other side of town. Her husband had a cardiology appointment and all this stuff and can't get it going, waiting for help. And she said, I don't know if I can make it. And all that stuff. I'm telling you, it didn't hold her back from getting her praise on. You say, I don't know. I think the tow truck's going to come get it. I don't know what's wrong with it. If she was governed by her feelings, she'd be sitting back up in overflow time tonight. If it was governed by your circumstances, and I'm just telling you, you go on ahead and don't let the enemy rob you of your praise. We make a decision. That's what I'm saying. Act like a man. I'm not women. It's not, again, go with it. Amen. Let's go back to what it said in the New King James. Be brave. I mean, say that. Look over at somebody and say, be brave. Men look over at another man and say, act like a man. Man of God. Don't get confused about that. Letter D is be strong. In that chapter 16, verse 13, the last part, he said, be strong. It means to increase in strength, to grow strong. Again, that's the present. It's a unique, not unique, but it's, you don't find this form of the Greek a word all the time. This is in the present passive imperative. That's the tense voice and mood of that particular word. Give me a couple of minutes. Can you indulge me right here? Because this will, it's significant, I think, especially when it's used right here. When he said, be strong, people of God. And you know, this is in the last part of the whole book, that whole letter to the Corinthian believers. And this is the fascinating and revealing observation to me. That specific Greek word that's used, be strong, it's in the passive voice. The passive voice in the Greek language means that the subject is the recipient of the action. An active voice means like I'm the doer of the action. But when he said be strong, I'm not the doer of that. Be strong, because it's in the passive tense, is I'm the recipient. If I look at you and say be strong, then you're the subject. So if this is in the present command tense, and it is, but it's in the passive voice, what it means is receive strength. You're in the middle of your battle, receive strength. You don't look at yourself and suck it up, cupcake. You know, be strong in your own self. Don't do that. Say, God, I receive. Do you hear me? When he said be strong, he said get in receiving mode. Take this thing. It's not a command that means I just got to ratchet up all the strength I can muster all by myself. I have a lot of positive self-talk. I'm going to talk myself into doing this thing right. No, no, no. Rather, it means when I'm presently in the face of battle, to put myself in a receiving mode for the strength of the Lord. Amen. In other words, in the tense of that, receive strength now. So when do you need it? Now. And when tomorrow, when the battle comes, receive strength now. When he said, be strong, be strong. Here, another place that's used in the Bible, and that same word, it's only four or five places that's used. But Ephesians, I think maybe eight places. I don't know, I lost that. But Ephesians 3, verse 16, read it with me, that he would, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. There's that word. That's the same Greek word that was used there in 1 Corinthians 16. That you would to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Obviously, it's so clear here in this scripture. It's the strength that we must be receiving through his spirit into your inner man, your spirit man. Amen. Look at David one more time, this time as a positive example, younger in his life, as one who had to rely not on his own resources, but on God. Because this will be familiar. One verse, 1 Samuel 17:45. Remember when David runs out to Goliath? He had a proclamation that he's telling this giant of a Philistine. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come with me to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin. But I come," I'll say it with me, "but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He didn't say, "Goliath, I come to you because I'm all that in a spiritual bag of chips." He didn't say, "Because I'm really skilled at this slingshot thing I've been practicing for years." He didn't say, "I come to you in my own talent or ability or strength." Rather, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." That word name means fame. I got a famous God. I'm not serving a little lesser God with the little g. We're serving the Most High God. Amen. Glory to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord of hosts, that means the Lord of the King of Heaven's armies. Lord of war. He's not some low ranking. This is the general. This is the commander in chief, the Lord of hosts. Verse 13, back at 1 Corinthians 16, we're moving on, I think. But he said, watch, stand fast, be strong. Let me back it up. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And verse 14 is part of this same setting. Verse 14, read it with me. Let all that you do be done with love. So letter E in this same setting, as we're to be diligent, maintain spiritual diligence, letter E is do everything with love. Man, he just talked about fighting, I mean being strong and being brave, and he said do it all in love. These are not contrasting. They're complementing characteristics. Come, are you with me tonight for a few more minutes? See, what we just read in this previous verse, verse 13, watch, stand fast, and those things, in all our watching, in our standing, in our bravery, in our receiving strength from the Lord, let it all be soaked with love. Hallelujah. Y'all look quiet. You said, man, I was all into it when you're talking about fighting something, being brave, strong, tough, let them do that. Now, let it all be done in love. Well, I struggle with that one. Okay, well, I understand. I mean, I get it. We're people in our natural self. Sometimes people are really easy to love, and other people are really not easy to love. It has to be intentional. You have to draw strength from God right there to help. It's a love by choice. This word that's used there, agape, love of God, the love from God through us. Again, I can't give what I haven't received. I can't give love except that we realize that we are the recipients of His love. Let me just give you one verse. Romans 5, verse 8, familiar to many of you. But God demonstrates His own, what? His love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if we are receivers, recipients of the love of God, we need to learn how to be distributors of that love too. Amen. And it's not just in the Christmas season. That's all year long. And may God give us good practice at home, loving, and in relation and on jobs with difficult supervisors or difficult employees. Help us love. Amen. So look at number two, and I'm moving on through the rest of these points more quickly. Maintain spiritual diligence was number one. Number two, have an attitude of submission. Now, some people, it just seemed they came out of the womb fighting. I defy you, doctor. Slap me on the butt. I just got an attitude almost. And it just tends to increase as sometimes get older, especially when they're teenagers. Most of the teens are out of the room, so I can just talk like that. I'm kidding. Some of us, it was far before teen years, and it's for some of us, it's been far beyond teen years. But so what are we going to do about this attitude of submission? If you're told to do something and your first response, no, let me change that. If you're told not to do something and your first response on the inside is, you hide and watch, I'm going to do that, then you know that you got a submission struggle going on. And maybe it's the exact opposite and all that. But so look at 1 Corinthians 16:15, the next verse. He said, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. This is the first fruits of Achaia, and the first ones that got saved in that region of Asia, Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. If you want an addiction you can yield yourself over to, that's a good one. About the only one. They addicted to themselves to the ministry or serving of the saints. The word addicted really means to assign a place, to arrange in an orderly manner. We plugged in here. Thank God for you. They're plugged in here at Open Door and whatever, however God is leading and progressing you. Let's read the last part of verse 15 from the New Living Translation. He says, these people, he named them, they're spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to what? Submit. Some of you had trouble saying that even, didn't you? Out of the word, out of it. Say it with me again. To submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. The word submit, in Greek, this is non-military use. It had a little different meaning in military use, but in the non-military usage of that particular word of submit, it means a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating, of assuming responsibility, and of carrying a burden. So when he said, now submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. There is safety in submission to believers like that. Amen. I'm glad you guys are easy to work with, by and large. A few of you are still struggling, but we're going to... Did I say that out loud? I have to look in the mirror and see where some of the difficulty comes from. It's this guy. Look, let's move on. Number three, show your appreciation to others. Show your appreciation of others. So isn't it something, Paul, he's in some important parts, the last few verses of this greeting, and he's expressing appreciation. Look at verse 17. He said, I'm glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus have come here. They've been providing the help you weren't here to give me. They've been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. That's cool. Look over at somebody and just appreciate somebody for a second, will you? I'll look back at my place. Look at that. See, on purpose, you can do that. In greeting time, like I said earlier, teens aren't in here. But you know what? During greeting time, why don't you, some of you older ones, go and speak to some of these young men or young ladies. Say, I so appreciate seeing your faithfulness here. I so appreciate you worshiping God. Just encourage each other. Man, you know, encouragement is that thing that doesn't even cost you anything. We can just do that. You should be so liberal with encouragement. That's not the same as flattery. I'm not saying just stuff that's not true and some way to gain an advantage with somebody, but truly encourage and help people. So Paul is speaking to that. Show your appreciation to all who serve so well. And the personal tenderness and care that Paul demonstrates in these closing sentences, and he's communicating to these Corinthian believers the love from other believers too. Look at verse 19. He says, the churches here in the province of Asia send greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla and all the others who gather in their home for church meetings. Verse 20, all the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. Before you get real exciting, single men, women, in the East, the kiss on the cheek, that was that, a different deal. Okay, moving on. All the brothers, I thought I had the translation in it said greet each other in brotherly love or something like that, but I guess I let the wrong one slip in. Verse 21, here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. It seems that Paul, he sensed that even though a scribe may have been writing the letters like a secretary or something writing the letters, but Paul had his own mark, his own signature, and he's saying at this point, here's my greeting in my own handwriting. This is an authentic letter from the Apostle Paul. Two things in closing, before I get to closing. Number four is keep telling the truth. Keep telling the truth. Look at that, what the truth looks like here. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 16:22, he says, if anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Whoa. Paul, you're talking about love and all that. Listen, love tells the truth. Somebody would say, but I thought God loved everyone. He does. But if I reject Jesus Christ, if I refuse his blessing, if I refuse his forgiveness, I refuse his life, then the truth is that I'm cursed. Not because God's angry, but because I'm forfeiting, rejecting that. How many in here know John 3:16? Then you already know it. You can say it in your head. But verse 17, most of the time we stop when we get through with verse 16. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already or judged already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, they're already living under a death sentence. They tell me in some death row situations, the label is affixed to that one. That's sentenced to die, dead man walking. Listen, we don't need dead people walking. We want people to turn to life and Christ. Amen. But the truth is, apart from Christ, we are merely dead people existing until we die in that way. Number five is, as Paul is in conclusion here, keep looking for Jesus' return. That's a theme through much of the New Testament. In verse 22, it's worded this way from the New King James. Oh, Lord, come. You can come, Becky. Oh, Lord, come. That's, if you have a King James Bible, the word Maranatha may be what's there. Anybody heard the word Maranatha Church? My friend pastors Maranatha Church with Sandoval in Belmead here. It's Aramaic for that phrase, oh, Lord, come. Probably one of the earliest words of the Christian vocabulary. I'll give you two references here where Jesus is saying, these are the words of Jesus. Luke 21:34, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware or off guard. Because the day of the Lord's coming. Jesus is going to come back, catch away believers. The Bible talks about a great tribulation. Thank you all. Pastor Teresa and Brother Cornell had spoken on that two Wednesdays ago when we were gone, and the coming of the Lord and our anticipation and preparation of that. So Jesus says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be getting insensitive or dull by carousing, drunkenness, even the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, read it with me out loud if you will. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Stand in his righteousness. One other passage, 1 John 3:2. Dear friend, we're already God's children. He's writing to Christians, believers. Dear friends, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And consequently, verse 3, therefore, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Do we make ourselves pure? Does he make us pure? Yes. Our purity as we yield to his work in us. He said, he that has this hope in himself purifies himself. I'm quoting from another translation, King James, I think. He who has this hope in him of Christ's return keeps himself pure as he is pure. There's a work of God in us. So saints, we're going forward. Amen. Last thing, number 6, as Paul is the last two verses he'll conclude with in a moment, embrace grace. Number 6, embrace grace. Don't trust your own abilities. Don't trust that because I'm part of a good church and have good brothers and sisters around me. No. Embrace the grace of God. In the midst of all their problems and challenges in that church at Corinth, in the light of all of Paul's corrections and all of his instructions and all of Paul's rebukes and his encouragements, look at Paul's prayer or speaking the blessing over them. In verse 23, he said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. You know, that's not a good parting statement. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, grace is the power of God at work in us, changing us. It's the unearned power of God at work in us, changing us, that comes to us through Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Working. Embrace it. And verse 24, last verse of that entire letter and the entire book of the Bible, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. This seasoned apostle, this man of God who had walked through so many difficulties on his own, and there are parts in 1 Corinthians that we've looked at that he sounds so frustrated with. Come on, guys, and let's go. And listen, we should never stop loving people. We should embrace grace to us, and embrace grace through us. Some of you are on your way back to God. Some of you are on your way back to the Lord tonight. I don't want you to wait till some other time. Okay, God, I surrender. Sometimes the heat gets turned up. Sometimes the difficulties get more difficult. It will as we're walking away from the light. But let God, as tonight is a night of refreshing, I want you to stand up with me. But as you stand, would you close your eyes, and prayer partners, would you just come and be available up here? Oh, Lord, we love you. Tonight, your presence has been so sweet. And we thank you, Lord. We never want to take for granted the hand of your grace at work. Oh, Lord, but let it not stop with tonight's experience. But this night, Lord, that it would be the work of your hand that pulls us closer, closer, closer to you. As they begin to sing tonight, and maybe you want to step out and it's about 8:20, I think, or 8:21. You're welcome. Take a few minutes if you need to just come and bow before the Lord again. Kneel at one of these places up front. You can stand as well. If you need somebody to pray with you, there are people here, prayer partners, to join with you. Listen, tonight, if you're outside of a real relationship with Jesus, tonight is that love of God pulling you to be born again. The Bible says born from above, adopted into the family of God.